Hi, this is Russ Bailey from Beyond the Strange, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast with Al Cooley.
Hello, I'm your host, Al Cooley, from the Ghost in the Valley podcast. Today I have the middle-aged and creeped-out podcast, and I believe the whole crew's with me tonight, Todd, Sean, and Nate.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Al.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Oh, not that better days, but, you know, technology, you know.
Sure.
We completely understand, Al.
You know, getting to your podcast, the middle-aged creeped out podcast. Who came up with that name?
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. It's like,
well, thanks. Yeah, we're middle-aged and we're creeped out, so there you go. Kind of fits together.
Ipso facto, huh?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And your logo, man. The logo's awesome.
Sean's sister came up with that. So she's a graphic designer. So she was kind enough to help us come up with a logo and yeah, came together.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about some of your shows. That we've had probably 6 or 7 of your guests on there were on my show too, you know. So mm-hmm. We have the same type of feel, you know, for what we're looking for and direction you're going with the show. And with cryptids and Bigfoot and you name it, you know. So I listened to a couple of your past episodes this morning. I put you in my library. So that's pretty cool. I usually keep 10 people, 10 of my podcasts in the library. Unbelievably, some of the podcasts drop out. You know, they give up on it after so long. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, I like that podcast, you know? But I thought about last year, you know, about giving it up, you know, after 8 years, and I said, that did it run a course? Not really, because I keep learning on this show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep learning about different investigation techniques. I didn't know what a doppelganger was until about 3 years ago, you know. So,
yeah.
It's not just a fun word to say.
Yeah. It was my brother, man. My brother says, hey, I seen your doppelganger. No. What happened was he lives in Georgia. I'm in Ohio. And he says, you didn't even stop to say hello to me today in the restaurant. That's kind of rude. I didn't know you was even in Georgia. So I wasn't. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you were. You were in Georgia, man. You're my brother. I know who you are. I said, okay, Randy, but I wasn't there, man. I've been here all mm-hmm. day. And he said, the guy talked like me, looked like me, mannerisms of me.
Well,
kind of scary because he sent the picture back. Like, it was me, you know. I was like, mm-hmm. but it wasn't
yeah,
me.
I've had that at work. Guys come up and they're like, are you Mike? I'm like, no, I'm not Mike. Are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure. I've been with myself all life.
This Mike guy that I know, man, he looks just like you.
Hmm. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, it's freaky.
So you guys are from Indiana?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been in Indiana twice, and both times was like, I don't know if you know what word says. Shipshawana.
Shipshawana. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went there for a play one year with my sister, and we went back again to see Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was kind of strange with all the Amish outside, you know.
That's great. That is great.
That's hilarious. I was going to say, Al, if you came to visit Indiana, my first thing was, I was going to say, is I'm sorry.
Oh.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I liked Indiana. I was like,
I do too.
Good people.
They're never going to forgive me now for saying that.
other than Shipshawana, what else is happening there? I mean, what great spots to go that's haunted?
Well, you could go to Rockville, Indiana, which is about an hour west of us, because we're pretty much half hour from downtown Indianapolis, and then an hour west of us is the Indiana State Sanatorium. That's a good location to check out if you are interested in, you know, the paranormal. Yeah. We've been there twice. Pretty cool.
So did you guys investigate or?
We mosey around. We're not really investigators per se, but we don't have any equipment or anything. We just go in with flashlights and open minds and see what we can see.
Well, you know, I've always said that, you know, that your body's the biggest tool, you know, because I wrote a book, you know, and my book was basically growing up in a haunted house. And I think that's what inspired me to go on to later on when I had my own video production company, I did a documentary on ghosts, you know, so, and I think it was all because, you know, here's my, the book, you know, so it was like growing up in that haunted house, you know, it's like really, I don't know, because I never believed in ghosts, you know, yeah, I was 12 years old and you hear boogeyman or all that stuff. I didn't believe in any of that stuff until that time, you know, so I always said that, you know, you're. Unless it happened to you, it's hard to believe, you know. Like UFOs or Bigfoot or cryptid or anything, really.
You know. Mothman.
Mothman, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we did a self-guided tour, though, for the Indiana State Sanatorium. For like $25, you pretty much have the, you know, you can roam around the whole property and kind of take your time. And, yeah, it's definitely worth it. It's pretty cool. A lot of history. It's been around.
Al, I would call what we do investigation light, with somewhere between Scooby-Doo and the Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. I had some equipment back in the day that I was doing with another person, and he actually invented a lot of that stuff, like the spirit box. I don't know how he did it, but he used like these old, used to be like Cinemax breaking tubes, you know, they could you could get Cinemax for free back then, you know, still on Cinemax or HBO, but he didn't use it for that. He used it for, and he hooked it up to a Radio Shack transistor thing he made, and he was getting voices and stuff from the houses, you know, and so like energy, you know, at first we thought it was okay, just a CB. It could have been like a radio transmission from someplace else, but no, it wasn't, you know. So he went and got a patent on it. You know, he went to the patent office and somebody stole his patent, you know, from the patent office.
Oh, wow.
So he took like 15 years of a lawsuit suing the patent office, you know. Yeah. So I just basically, like you know, I would go in with a recorder, infrared camera, my body, you know, I could almost sense. I don't consider myself a psychic medium by no means, but I can almost sense when there's something in the room. And so a person was on my podcast last year. I went to his house and I told him I don't investigate like that, you know, with spirit boxes or EVPs or dowsing rods or any of that. So he didn't want to talk to me like we are now on Zoom. He wanted this face to face, me in his house. So I figured I'd travel 60 miles to get there and in Ohio. And I'll tell you what, that house creeped me out, man. It's like, and that was with no equipment. You know, he called it his fun house.
Oh,
because it was the roofs went up like this, but the floors went down like this, and all the steps were at angled, you know, going up the stairs. So you're not going up an even step. You're going up angled steps. Not too bad going up, but coming down, man, you're going to bust your butt. You know?
Yeah.
That was very interesting. Well, they moved the house they moved that house back in 1799, something like that. And they moved that house with a team of horses on a bunch of logs. So when they set the house down, I believe they set it down on Indian burial grounds, because he found a bunch of Indian artifacts in the garden he was digging up. So my question to you is, do you think that the houses could be haunted, or do you think the ground is haunted?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think it's a little bit of both, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, if the ground is naturally haunted from a Indian burial ground or whatever happened on that ground, I can see it being haunted. But then if something horrific or you know, unworldly happens in a house, I can see the house being haunted too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's kind of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was told by a Native American Indian a few years ago, you know, that he was believing that the earth is what's where all the energy comes from, you know, hence the dowsing rods and finding water and gas and electric and bodies, you know, so because your body is energy, you know, so, and I believe that's how the spirits of these beings are there, is because of energy. And they have to thrive off that, some type of energy. Energy could be the earth, you know. So I never really thought about that until I started doing this podcast and all the interesting guests I've had on the show, you know, and all their different angles and on their beliefs. And so you guys had quite a few episodes out, you know, for 4 years. I look back on it, you know, and I'm impressed, you know, because you have almost twice as me. I have like 190 and 8 years, you know, so you know, with all the, and I was looking at all the things that you're on your shows, you know, between the guests and the places from all over the country, all over the place, even Japan. I'm thinking, wow, that's impressive, you know, because it's a lot of work put in doing the research and trying to get it right, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were afraid we might run out of topics, but we're finding that's never going to happen.
No. People ask us that all the time. A lot out there. No, there's too much out there. We're not worried about running out of anything to talk about anytime soon. So
what got each one of you, what got you interested into the paranormal? I mean, you could have picked anything to do a podcast on, you know, and like me, you picked the paranormal.
Was interesting. So Al, I'll take this one first. We started this during COVID, so this was a COVID baby, and it's one of those things where Todd and I got together. We used to get together with you know, guy group, and a lot of people wouldn't get together anymore, so it was just him and I, and we'd sit there and talk, and you know, we'd share different stories that I think you just don't normally share, you know, because it was just him and I. And we've known each other since 2017, you know, baseball, and our boys play baseball together. And we'd sit there and talk about it. And Todd would start telling me about the podcast world, and he knew some podcasters, and Jerry and Tracy Polly were people that he had gotten to meet and went down and saw them podcast. And he was like, I think I'm going to do a podcast. And I was like, oh, that'd be great. Let's, you know, that you should do that. And he said, I'm thinking about paranormal, maybe sports, maybe cars, you know. And I was like, great. So the next time we got together, he was like, I'm going to do a podcast, but I want you to come with me. And I was like, I came up with every reason not to. And when we sat there and talked, the more we talked about it, the more it was like, oh yeah, we could totally do this, you know. And then we started, you know, looking into the equipment and looking into the logo and the name. He came up with it. And when we were talking about different names, and when he said Middle-Aged creeped Out, I'm like, yeah, that's it right there. But we had decided that paranormal would be the most exciting for me. I've always enjoyed, you know, scary movies. I've always enjoyed being scared. I've loved Halloween since I was a little kid. And it's just one of those things where it never gets old, you know. So, the other thing is I like to investigate, you know, the unknown, you know, things that, you know, people just don't talk enough about. So we talked about how it would be nice to create a safe space for people that could come and share, you know, their weird stories, their unexplained stories, and not feel judged. And I think that was kind of what we built on, that and the mental health aspect of, mm-hmm. trying to get, you know, people to make sure they're getting plenty of help.
Yeah, what Sean said. Yeah, we did. Yeah, because I was like, man, what kind of podcast am I going to do? And then I decided paranormal, and I said, there's one person I want to do it with me. It's Sean. So Sean had told me a few of his stories, and I'm like, yeah, he's the perfect guy to get on. So
no, actually, he said the one guy I want to do it with is Bob, but Bob's not available. So Sean, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah. No, it is like Sean said. I've always been interested in, you know, the unknown and ghosts and scary movies as well since I was a kid. So it's just fun. And, you know, whether these things are real or not, we learn about real places and real people. So, you know, whether it's a castle, a hospital, sanatorium, you know, these are real locations. So it's, I've learned a lot of history. I definitely have learned a lot more than what I thought I would. So it's just fun to talk about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was more or less the same avenue. My birthday's in October, October 13th. So I just grew up watching horror movies through my birth month and just absolutely enjoyed them. And getting that little bit of a scare is always fun, mm-hmm. and getting the adrenaline going. And then I always found myself, as I was growing up, getting my driver's license, that kind of stuff, driving by abandoned buildings and stuff like that and going, I wonder what's in there. Mm-hmm. And is it haunted? Are there stories that go with that building? Is there some spirit that haunts that building or that house, old farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere? And yeah, I've always enjoyed the creepy.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think with everybody's on balance show, it's like everybody has some type of something that led them into investigations. You know, if you're an investigator or podcast, I mean, so like myself, you know, how that whole experience with the haunted house and had the experience on my ghost documentary, had my experience writing my book about my house, you know, and trying to relive those years because I'm going back quite a few years on that book, you know. So, and that's what one host on a show was on not long ago. And she asked me what took me so long to write my book. It took me 50 years. And I says, who do you go to in 1967, man?
I mean, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
We didn't have internet. I mean, even like now, you know, who does the engineering? It's
That's Nate.
Nate?
Yep.
He's a tech guy. So, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's better now that, you know, doing the TikTok and the Facebook. And I mean, you get all this equipment and trying to stream here and there and video and audio. And when I'm a one-man show, you know, so I knew all the stuff back then, back in the day. You know, I was pretty good up to, you know, VCR. VHS, and then it came the DVD, and then Blu-ray, and now we're into, you know, then 4K, and then now we're into, you know, hardly nobody has a CD player no more, or or a DVD player. Everybody streams everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The investigations, everybody, when I go on a show, can you send me a MP4 file, you know, at first I was like, a what?
<You
know>?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, so I'm old school, you know, I have a 1955 jukebox in my other room over here. So, yeah, I still listen to vinyl. And, yeah, I mean, I was watching or listening to a lot of your shows today. And I was just curious who comes up with the topic, you know, like of your next show. I mean, who comes up with the Gunther House or Lizzie Board? I mean, how do you decide what your next show going to be?
What we do is I ask the guys to give me a list of topics. And then I keep it on my phone, and then I, you know, of course, come up with my topics, and then we just kind of rotate. So that's pretty much how we do it. We all, you know, look for haunted things and the weird and unexplained and to talk about. And so I just keep a list, and then I try to rotate who's next. And yeah, so like the Gunther Hotel, the most recent mini episode was mine. And I think the next one we're going to do is Nate's, his mini episode. And that's what we do for our full episodes. Yeah. We just kind of go around and, try to use all of our ideas, yeah, to talk about. Mm-hmm.
I see we have a lot of, we know a lot of the inner circle, same people, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. like Eric Freeman Sims and Sin Trader Hill and
Austin Lawrence.
Austin Lawrence, man. I just met him not long ago.
Yeah. You just interviewed Tom Franklin, too.
Tom Franklin. Yeah.
I have Jupiter. Yep.
You know, so I get a lot of like people that say Sin Trader Hill. She'll say, oh, you have to have, I can't think of his name. He had that cookbook out.
No, her friend.
Yes.
Yeah. Mark Elliott Foltz. There you go.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Gosh, Mark Elliott. Yep. Yeah. And his book's in my checkout for Amazon. You know, so this would be a great coffee table. My wife says, I don't want that on my coffee tables, you know. You know, about leaving the skin on a rabbit or something, you know, you know, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's interesting because there's really some, it goes from nuts to bolts, you know, mm-hmm. and then the book's like, you know, yay thick, you know, and I'm going to go to a Paracon next month, hopefully, if all works out, then half those people, it's going to be at this Paracon, so I'll get to meet them, you know, firsthand.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
You guys go to Paracons, or do you anything, any of that, or?
I have not. I know. Mm. I'd love to, though.
Yeah, we have a couple here in Indy, but I've not been to one, so I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Yeah, just something either is always taking its place, or I just don't get to it for whatever reason. Yeah.
Without naming a guest, have you ever had a guest on your show that you're like, wow, like that's unbelievable? I mean, I was like,
oh, we're like left us speechless,
right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I was like that too. I was like, how can I say that you're not telling the truth when I got that myself, seeing a ghost? Mm-hmm. So I mean, like my friend, he had a connection at that same time. I'll keep in mind where I'm 12 years old, 13 years old, and my friend, I had a thing with ghost. He had a thing with telepathy with UFO. So how can I say his UFO is nonsense or crazy or black-eyed kids that he had contact with? How could I? And that was back in 67, 68. So, so this goes way back. You know, when people talk about the black-eyed kids, you know, like they had never heard of that before, you know, but this goes way back, you know. And I just found out on a show the other day, not long ago, with Eric Freeman Sims about the white-eyed kids, you know. Mm. So I never heard about the white-eyed kids. So I love when I learn stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are probably the same way. You know, something comes to your show that, you know, blows your socks off. You know, it's like.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's interesting that we always, because when we first started, I thought, man, we have to be experts on everything that we talk about. And we need to be able to tell everybody exactly the truth and what's out there. But you probably find this out, Al, too, is that you really are just there to get people thinking, you know, and wondering and investigating too. So if we talk about a place, we know we've only got so much time to talk about. It's kind of not, it's like, hey, go look up these videos, go look this subject up. Or if you don't believe it, or you have some skepticism, you know, look into it for yourself and kind of see what you think. And, you know, some people might be even compelled to do paranormal investigations themselves that are skeptical. So I admit that I was probably a little more skeptical when I first started this podcast, and now, you know, 4.5 years into it, I feel like I have more questions than answers, but that's part of the fun of it. I mean, really, in my opinion. So that's been a huge, you know, drive to continue to do this podcast is we meet, like you said, I'll meet all kind of interesting people. And then we get to look at places that, I mean, I didn't even know existed. And a lot of them are still in this country. You know, we look around the world, but it's amazing what's just in your backyard.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I mean, you look at your episodes, you know, because it's here, it's in Indiana, it's in Kentucky, it's in Japan, it's in Australia, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. It's everywhere, you know. So it's really interesting when you have people come on your show, and to me anyway, that when they talk about the fae, you know. Mm-hmm. I never knew what a fae was. I didn't know it was a little fairy, you know, and it goes back to the Native American. If you look at their folklore, you know, on the little people, you know, these guys, these little things weren't friendly, you know, all the time, you know, so I learn, and I love that. Had a guy on a show talking about a woodbooker. I didn't know what a woodbooker was, you know, the Bigfoot, you know, some people down south and Appalachian calls it the woodbooker, you know.
Huh. I didn't know that. I learned something too.
Skunk ape. Yeah.
That is the cool thing about, because when we have guests on, everybody brings something different. You know, I don't think we've had a guest that hasn't, that we haven't learned from, you know, mm-hmm. or been interested in what they're talking about. And everybody has their own stories and to share. So we love doing our topics and talking about a haunted castle or whatever, but having people on is very interesting and fun. Mm-hmm. We love to chat with people, and we've been blessed to have some really good guests on. A lot of good people, and we've become friends with them. That's one of the biggest takeaways from this podcast is, and Nate and Sean would agree, of how many people we've met through the podcast, and we can call them friends, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I love that. You know, like, what's her, Eleanor Wagner.
Yeah.
Eleanor,
I mean,
yeah.
So many, I mean, that you had on your show that I had on. You know, and like you say, they're friends. I can actually, yeah. We keep up with each other and like each other's event or podcast or show, whatever they're doing, you know. And yeah, you had a show on about haunted Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
What was that one? I haven't listened to that one yet. What's that one about? Because my son lives in Pittsburgh. He just moved to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
That was inspired by a friend of ours, or my wife and I's family, Lisa Wood, and she's from Pittsburgh. And she said, someday you have to do Haunted Pittsburgh. And it is, she said, it is one of the most, I mean, every place we look at is the most haunted this and that in this country and the world. But she's like, there are so many libraries and churches and hotels there in Pittsburgh. It is daunting. And we even said that, like, there's a lot of great places. The book series Haunted, you know, the Haunted Pittsburgh and Haunted, you know, Texas.
Right,
and
right. Waldo, right. Mm-hmm.
Those things are fantastic. And that was one of my favorite references to look into Pittsburgh. But it was just one of those things that no matter what place, we were like, you know, we could do this as a two-parter, a three-parter, you know, talk about it for hours, you know, a lot of times. So
well, yep. What's fun with those types of episodes where we do like a city is we just like hit real quick main topics of the different places that are around the town. But then later on, we can always focus in on a specific one and do a full episode on just that topic.
We did that with San Antonio. Mm-hmm. We hit a bunch of San Antonio stuff, and then we've pulled away from those and come up with some mini topics. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, San Antonio was loaded. That's a ton of haunted locations. And then we did the Gunter, which is in San Antonio. So mm-hmm. You know, just honed in on that one. So yeah. But yeah, Pittsburgh was fun. Pittsburgh was a good one.
You did another one, was Alaska Triangle. I like that one because I had one from that area, a story outside of Anchorage, you know, and he mentioned that Alaska Triangle, like, and I didn't know that there was Alaska Triangle, you know, but he was talking about, and his story was with Bigfoot of that, in that area, you know, Bigfoot and baby Bigfoot, you know, so, this guy's a non-believer, so he is totally, this stuff don't happen, you know, and, you know, they let him off, and the guys were some little island outside of Alaska in that area, and they drop you off for what do you call that? You're living off the grid for 2 weeks, and you go in with the water boat, the water planes that land on the water, and
as the pontoons.
Pontoon, you're right, and they let you off for hunting for 2 weeks, and they come back and pick you up. Now it's up to you. Whatever you take with you, you better, you know, ration when your stuff, because. But like they found out real quick, you know, when they left the door slightly ajar, and a bear came in and about took all their stuff. And that same night, then a little baby Bigfoot came in, and well, someone slept out in the tent, and someone slept in the cabin. I think like 8 of them. And the guy sleeping in the tent, it was when a little baby Bigfoot's hand or something, they came into the tent, and he was woke the other guys up. Well, the one guy from the cabin actually shot at Bigfoot.
Oh, man.
You know, so I guess a dead on a shot, but it didn't phase him. So I don't know. And he was telling me this, you know, from that area. That's what kind of opened my eyes up when I seen that Alaska Triangle, you know, his story, you know. And it happened with his other buddies too. You know, they don't want to talk about it. You know, because it's just unbelievable, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you explain that?
Yeah, that's one of the locations that I never thought until we did the podcast. I would have never thought about Alaska with anything paranormal or cryptids or anything like that. And yeah, you choose the topic, and you're like, you start looking into it, and you're like, man, this has a lot. there's a lot that's going on that's unexplained. So
yeah, well, I love your episodes, man, because you hit almost all the topics that I was interested in, and I did on some of them, you know, like your Haunted Railroad, you know, the railroad one. In my book, I mentioned a railroad like 3 or 4 times, and the one editor, well, she was telling me, she cut out one of my stories, you know, I thought it was one of my best stories in a book, and. So it's going to be a book too, you know, But because I mentioned too much railroad, and I think she's probably right because I was too much train, you know. But and I did my documentary was I had one on a railroad, you know. His story was he liked to walk tracks or railroad tracks. That was his hobby. He liked to go to different railroad tracks and walk the tracks. Well, the one track he just kept coming back to the same spot, and that's what I put that in my documentary, you know. And when I was taping that documentary. That day, I was asking the people living in a trailer next to the railroad track, does any trains run here on Sunday? She goes, oh, I've lived here for 15 years. We never had a train on Sunday. You know, so that morning, I set my tripod up, everything that while I'm taping this guy. All he has to do is walk down. My actor has to walk down the tracks, right? I thought this boom box was playing in the background. Here was a train coming around the bend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. And I had barely had enough time to get my tripod off the tracks. So I wasn't hit myself, right? And I can't see him. No, I don't see him because the train went by. Because he was running down the tracks. I said, just look at me at the camera and act like you're scared, you know. And that look on his face was like, well, I said, man, he's a good actor.
I am scared.
Yeah. Exactly. He's watching a train come behind me, you know. So yeah. My heart was pumping like 1,000 miles an hour. I actually thought the dude was hit by that train. You know, Harry, after the train went by, he comes out of the woods, zipping his zipper up. I'm like, oh, okay. You relieve yourself in the woods. Okay. And the lady came running out of our house like, man, I never seen a train on Sunday, you know. And that was weird. I mean, it's so little things like that that just unexplained that. And you're talking about mental health. How does that play in your what you're doing?
It was something I told Sean. I was like, we got to do something other than just talk about the creepy and spooky stuff. We need to have some type of, I don't know what you call it.
Give back.
Yeah, something to give back to the people. And so everybody struggles with mental health in some area, you know, in some degree. So I know I do, and I'm not shy to talk about it. So I struggle with anxiety and depression really bad. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, yeah, we decided, you know what, we can talk about the fun, creepy stuff, but also give back to the community, and we can give the phone numbers and the hotlines, and you never know who's out there that needs it, you know? So if it helps one person, it's worth it.
Yeah, I like that. That's great, you know?
Al, it's interesting. We have trying to have a balance with that mental health, too, because we do give out the numbers, and we talk about it. What the one thing we didn't think we would do is share a lot of our life in some of these episodes, and that started just happening, and people said it's kind of nice because it's just like three guys having a conversation and I'm just a fly on the wall. And with the mental health, I think we try, you know, besides talking about these creepy things or guest chats or, you know, talking about unexplained, we do give out the numbers, and then Todd always has a dad joke or riddle, and that also in my, you know, it makes us all smile and laugh. And then we get into the topic, and then we do a middle-aged moment or dark side, which is normally, for a while there, it was a poem or a song, lyrics or whatever. And it's mainly song lyrics a lot of times, but it's really to reflect about, you know, we might go into some really dark topics, and then we just try to lighten that up with, you know, talking about the mental health aspect of it. Other times we do a dark side, which kind of delves deeper into some of those, you know, dark feelings that some of us are feeling. And so we try to, that's how we kind of, you know, there's a skeleton of the creepy, and then we put, you know, some meat on the bones and do the mental health. But that's kind of how we, and people know they expect those things, you know, for us to deliver those kind of things. And it just gives them a time out from their daily lives and their stress and their anxieties and things like that. And they can come in there, and then they also hear us say, you know, we're struggling too. And so, you know, to make people feel not alone and that there is hope out there, and that we're, hey, you show up, we'll show up kind of thing. And it's, to us, it's a beautiful thing and it's an honor to be a part of, truly.
We're pretty proud of the community we've built, because like the Facebook group, especially, you know, everybody knows they can, if they're struggling, they just need a kind word or encouraging word, or if they're, you know, deep into it, they can come to the Facebook group and ask for a prayer or good vibes or encouragement, and makes us feel good, you know. And it's like Sean said earlier, it's our podcast and our Facebook group and Instagram, it's a safe space for people to voice their concerns or talk about whatever, and they're not going to get made fun of, you know, not going to get rejected. So it makes us feel good. Yeah.
you know, it's important to help the people with mental health, you know, definitely. But sometimes you have people that are schizophrenic, you know, you don't know, like, you know, don't, like I had Bishop James Long on my show. He's a demonologist. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
And he was telling me, he has to, they have to, the Catholic Church has to rule out, schizophrenia, any type of mental health issues, before they will even go in and do an exorcism of the house or the person.
Right.
I found that, that's important. People always accuse me, well, these people are schizo or they're this or that. And it's not true, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do think, and when you're talking about depression and suicidal, and I had that in my book. You know, I had one of my friends committed suicide on a train track. And
Wow.
And when I was doing my book signing, and here, and I happened in Warren, Ohio. My book, the where the house was. Well, I was downtown in Warren doing my book signing, right? It was at the Halloween. It was at the Ghost Walk last year, and where thousands of people come in to this Ghost Walk every year. And you know, like you're saying, the people you meet, you know, along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And a person came into my at the book signing and says, "I'm glad you didn't put the person's name in the book because you know I went to school with him and that day at school I knew he was struggling with drug abuse, and I was really proud of him because he was on the right track, you know, and that now we you know we're teenagers, yeah, and we're going to hook up later that evening at McDonald's and." Well, while we were sitting in McDonald's with a couple other friends, I see these paramedics were running in the McDonald's just throwing up. You know, they were, and I said, "What the heck's going on? All these sirens are going on." And they said a young man had laid across the tracks, and when a train came, and I found out it was my buddy from school, my lab partner. You know, I didn't put his name in the book. You know, just said, you know. Because one part of that story was they come in threes, you know. My grandmother said they come in threes.
Yep.
So yeah. One, two, and he was like three, you know. So here I'm doing this book saying this. A girl walks up and she says, "I'm glad you didn't put his name in a book because that was my brother, you know." And I didn't even know he had a sister. So that kind of like, you know, really opened my eyes up to the problem she was telling me he was going through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was really not today. You have all these avenues, all these people that can help you, you know. They know what PTSD is. They, you know, they back then it was like, you know, war syndrome or, oh, you know, they just put you out in the pasture, you know. That was like, there's so many different technology is bad in a way, but it's good in a way where it's like the internet and like we were talking earlier, streaming and what we can do now, like all these people you've met, I've met through our podcast, people you call friends now, you know, that we couldn't do that back in 1967, 1980, you know. Yeah, you had Commodore, you had, you know, take forever to get on that computer. You know,
yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah,
took you half hour to download one song, you know, on Napster. I love that you guys call yourself, middle age, because that was a joke with me and my son. I always thought I was middle age. You know, I don't consider myself like an old man. And he says, "Dad, you're like geriatric." I'm like, I said, no, Mike, I'm like middle age. No, I'm middle age. You know, right. You're like geriatric. I said, no, my dad who just passed away a couple weeks ago. Jerry. Thank you. He could be like Jerry. No, he's like a dinosaur. So you're like a.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the that freestyle that we can talk here, and my listeners like that. You know, rather than you're just sitting, you know, hear me doing this. Oh, okay. So I kind of like to. I want to do a little of both. I want to have some type of background what you guys are doing, and we'll get you interested, and we've got into that. You know, and.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that, you know, you have all these different ideas on your show.
I'm really interested in sanatoriums, you know, they're interesting and fun to talk about, but man, we have run into so many that back
dark.
They're dark, and when they start out, you know, they have good intentions, most of them, you know, to help people, and they just get overwhelmed with, you know, they get, you know, the staff gets overwhelmed with so many patients, and they don't have the staffing, and it just turns really dark, and things don't go the way it's supposed to be. And so it's really, they turn into a lot of sad stories, you know, but they're good topics for hauntings, you know, a lot of, because of the darkness. So I'd say sanatoriums for me is a popular topic that we do, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean,
we've done a lot, right?
Yeah.
Very versatile. I think your podcast is very versatile.
Thank you. It's
everything. Mm-hmm.
You know. We call it a paranormal buffet.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, is how do people contact you to get on your show if they want to be on the show?
Well, we've got Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X. Mm-hmm. So, and we've got an email address, makopodcast@gmail.com. They can always email us.
It's two A's.
Two A's, yeah. Makos with two A's, yeah. Yeah, they can reach us pretty much any way, you know. Our main social media accounts, I would say it was Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. You know, that's how I reach a lot of guests. I'll reach out to people that I find out that are paranormal investigators or paranormal authors or something like that. And so that's kind of what I utilize. And that's probably the best way. You know, we don't get a lot of emails, really. Mm.
We're still on hold with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, wait, yeah. Dan Aykroyd's one that we're trying to
get on. 4.5 years now, guys, right? On hold.
Because when I did my Berkshire's Over the UFO episodes a few years ago, okay, it was on Netflix, released through the for the Unsolved Mysteries. I got almost everybody that was on that show on my podcast. I got the director of three of those episodes on Netflix on my podcast. I just reached out and talked to him, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, "How did you get him on your show?" I said, "Well, then give them BS or nothing. It's just straight up. I mean, just talk to them like they're normal people. I mean, mm-hmm. and find out they all have history, you know." And it was so cool. And then I got a hold of some people from Netflix, you know, behind the scenes. Some of the stuff I couldn't put on air, some of them I could, you know. Always says, "You don't want to go, I don't want to be behind bars, you know."
We've done, what, two or three episodes about UFOs, maybe. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you start talking about cover up, I mean, because I've had a couple of those, and I keep coming back to the cover up, man. It's like, you know, why you have a Senate hearing if you're not going to listen to these guys out? Hear these guys out. Yeah. I mean, if you have a UFO crash, where's the UFO?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the military's there picking this stuff up. The military's chasing this tic tac, but they swept under the rug for how many years?
Right.
And now you're there in front of the Senate hearing, and there's certain things that they can't even talk at the Senate hearing.
Yeah.
And I think that's from the Men in Black, you know, but my wife and I went down to Kecksburg, Pennsylvania a couple of years ago for the Kecksburg UFO Festival. You ever get a chance? That's a lot of fun, man. It was about a UFO crash. It crashed in Kecksburg in 1965. So I went there, and I was so amazed that I got some people that would talk to me that are my age now that were a little kid back then, right, from this UFO that crashed in the woods. And they call it like the acorn UFO, shaped like an acorn. And it went out on a flatbed truck, right? The rumor has it went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That's where they were housing these things. And it was so cool to talk to these people my age now, kids, about how the Men in Black came in their house and deleted basically when they left all their phone bill. There was nothing on it. So when they were calling whoever they had to call headquarters and say, explain to them what was going on. And so when they were leaving their house, like, you didn't see nothing, right? So you didn't see anything. It was like they're trying to still say it wasn't a UFO. It was another weather balloon, you know.
Yeah.
But right. You know, they knew what they saw.
Sure.
So it was so cool having that. And I met Stan Gordon there. I don't know if you know who Stan Gordon is. He's been on a few UFO shows, and So I bought his DVD from the Kecksburg crash, and I bought a couple of his books, and I was really cool. I was excited because like I got to meet the guy, you know, and he autographed the books for me, and that's a whole other story, the Kecksburg crash. So you know, and then you talk about another cover up, you know, the cover up my county, the cover up on Kecksburg, cover up with a Tic Tac, you know. Mm-hmm. So when my buddy was telling me, you know, how fast this UFO was going, they were chasing from Ohio to PA. So it was going like 55, between 35 and 55 miles an hour. Kind of like playing with them, right? Toying with them. Having all these people chase them all this way. When they finally got to his destination in Pittsburgh, Newcastle, or no, I'm sorry, Sharon, PA, it went from here to gone. Mm. You're talking maybe, you said, what, 20,000-30,000 miles an hour? Just gone. And it's a weather balloon, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's stuff like that, just, and I naturally, I had the actual 911 tapes from that time, 1994. So I had the 911 tapes that came into Youngstown. I'm not far from Youngstown, Ohio. So I was calling the Air Force base that's near me, because a lot of the UFOs were spotted over the Air Force base in Vienna, Ohio. So I contacted them and they told me to drop it. Wow. So
imagine
that. And one of the tapes. So that's why I was so excited to have the dispatcher on, you know, because she was there. She actually left the call center and went with a couple of police officers to where they're looking at this UFO. So she went with them. Now, get this. They had the county police. You had everybody seeing this, like I said before. You had the newspaper from Youngstown, the radio stations, TV stations, where we're all there. But nothing was put on the news the next day.
Mm.
And what happened to all these callers that called in?
Right, right.
So I told Roanne, she was a dispatcher. I kind of told her on my show, says, I was kind of put off that you were calling these guys, people like, what are these people drinking tonight, you know? or swamp gas, or
yeah,
crazy people out of Liberty, Ohio, you know, and it really took off when it hit the Art Bell show.
Yeah,
so right. Once that happened, our whole area just blew up.
Yeah,
you know. So that's a whole other story, but I'm sure you come across those where you have some stories that just like I said before, like blow your socks off, you know. So what would you say is the most fascinating story you've come across?
Oh gosh, what do you think, guys?
I still like that church castle that's built out in the middle of nowhere in Germany.
Oh yeah, Hell's Gate.
Yeah,
it's like a Hell's Gate. Yeah, because the fortifications are turning inward to keep things in instead of trying to keep people out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I, you know, doing this podcast, like you were saying earlier, Al, you know, I didn't know a lot of the things existed until doing the podcast. Like I had never heard of Black Eyed Kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm like, and you start doing the podcast, you're like, oh, okay, this is a popular topic. I think that's fascinating. I think these Black Eyed Kids, because, you know, are they demons? Are they aliens? Are they ghosts? What are they? There's all kinds of different opinions on them. I think that's fascinating to me. I'm more of a ghost guy. I'm not a big cryptid person, although I do like the New Jersey Devil or the Jersey Devil, and I like the Mothman. I think they're kind of interesting, but I'd say for myself, Black Eyed Kids and shadow figures, that's another thing I never knew existed until doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are interesting, and we had seen a shadow figure when we went to Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky. Is at the end of the night, and we had a lot of good activity.
Mm-hmm.
And how many? Let's see, there's five of us, five of us, I think, yeah. At least. And we all saw the shadow figure. And this was at the end of the night, and it was kind of right where we needed to leave. So that was kind of justifying that we all saw a shadow figure, not just one person. So,
no drinking, no alcohol.
Yeah, no, yeah, no drugs, no alcohol. No, we were sound mind.
Curricular, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what we all kept. We were even saying out loud, like, "You're seeing this, right? We're all seeing this together." Because I kept trying to think of every reason it could have had to be something else, and it was. But yeah, it's all something we saw.
Yeah. What about you, Sean?
I still find it interesting, all of the mysteries of like the planet that, I mean, we live in this planet, but we don't understand it. Like UFOs are just like a huge part of it too. Like why, my biggest thing is like, what are the dark forces that are have a hold of this planet? Is it really like this, you know, spiritual good versus evil? And the more we talk to people all the time, like, yeah, it really is. Like when I grew up, you know, I've got kind of a superhero mentality in mind, and, you know, like, oh, good versus evil, and good always wins. And so, but when you're a kid, you're like, okay, you know, as you grow up, you're like, okay, that's not really how it is. But as I get older, I'm starting to realize, like, oh my gosh, it is kind of like, you know, that is truly what it feels like. And, you know, why else would things like aliens be kept, you know, so secret, and dark forces and the deep state and all these things that are, you know, rabbit holes. We do some conspiratorial, but I mean, even, you know, where'd the pyramids come from? Why are they here? And why is, you know, things in Egypt being kept under wraps? And, you know, why can't we get the full history of, you know, where things came from, and where, you know, we feel like we're people with amnesia. And there's a bit of fun to it. There's a bit of curiosity, and there's also a bit of frustration when you go down those holes. And part of it is like, maybe we don't want to know all the answers. You know, maybe they're really, really cool to get the answer, but maybe it's really, really terrifying to get the answer.
Maybe we don't want to know.
So sometimes I have stopped in my tracks and thought, ooh, maybe I don't want to go any further down that rabbit hole, you know? So a couple of those, we've talked to some pretty interesting people, you know, yeah, not to target anyone in particular, but it's just like, man, they really get you to think about, you know, all the things we've said from the beginning of this podcast, we don't know even the things that we don't know. And sometimes that can be really interesting, but also terrifying.
I always said that the paranormal is the unknown.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
So like I told Tom Franklin on my show just the other day, you know, you can't put a ghost or a Bigfoot or a cryptid in a cubicle and come look at him, you know. It's unexplained. And so some people, like I say, you know, I've been called crazy my whole life on my stories, and it don't bother me. I mean, you know, now that with the internet today and all these different avenues with Facebook groups, and if you can't find what you're looking for there, I mean there's so many avenues now. And your podcast is one that people can go to and probably relate with some one of your stories, like you're talking about mental health, and then now know that you fund that and that's important to you, and so you'll get people from this episode and your episodes that will, you know, you can connect with somebody that might be going through a time right now, you know, might be about a ghost, it might be about Bigfoot, might be about a cryptid, you know. We don't know, you know, but you know, it's been my pleasure having you guys on, and I look forward to having you guys on again in the future. Get caught up, and I love your show. You know, on my directory to listen to the new ones, new ones to come out. You know, so thanks. And I'll put your links at the bottom of the episode. And it's been my pleasure, man, having you guys on.
Thank you, Al.
Well, yeah, we appreciate it.
We appreciate you having us, and we've heard such good things. All the people we know, you know, Austin Lawrence have told us, Betsy Kolakowski. They have said, like, Al is the nicest guy, and you are. You're just so easy to talk to. You're very laid back, but you're also very inquisitive. So listening to your episodes on Ghost in the Valley is just... it's nice because it's just, it's a relaxing ride into the paranormal, but expect the unexpected with your episodes, because they're so good. So appreciate you right back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Todd, Sean, and Nate. Hopefully someday I'll get to meet you guys. And I heard about the Middle Age Creeped Out podcast. I said, I got to check these guys out. And everything that they told me about you as well. Fantastic, fantastic show. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll see you in a couple weeks with another great episode of Ghost in a Valley podcast.